welcome back to another episode of the Extra Feature Podcast. Tonight I have a director, of course that's a name I can't say because I can never say them, but we're going to try. I have John Sabak here, his short film.
Close enough.
With Raised Arms, isn't it? I think so.
Arms Raised, yeah. With arms raised.
I wrote it backwards.
With Raised Arms was the original idea.
Okay. Well, welcome. Let's start with the premise. Is this based on something that you know happened to somebody, or is this all original while you're at?
Yeah. I mean, it's not funny at all. I think maybe the Christ shooter, possibly. Basically, some mass shooter was in an Uber ride, and when he got dropped off, this he basically said, "And be sure to subscribe to PewDiePie," and then went in to do it. I might have the you know exact place wrong, but that was planted in my head for I imagine years of just like what did they possibly talk about on the way there. And so, yeah, you know, it just was kind of one of those what ifs, and you're kind of playing through these variety of situations and scenarios. And then, you know, I basically just let it stew around because I'm like, I don't know, what is this even going to be about? But, like everything, it's the idea just would not leave my brain and then became, started to take more and more of a shape as I increasingly tried to not focus on it. So basically it was loosely inspired by an incident and a tragedy. And that just kind of got the brain, you know, working and wondering.
Did you always have the race of the people in the vehicle in mind?
That's a good question. I think I did. I wrote this a long time ago. I wrote this in, I think, 2021. Basically, as the riots were going on, as the Black Lives Matter movement was, gaining a lot of attention, and we were kind of examining those questions and whatnot. So I assume I did. I can't say definitively, but I don't know if it would have worked, possibly, if it was two white people, and obviously the majority of these shooters are white men. So I always knew the shooter would be white. So I assume I had the driver in mind as being a black guy, but I would have to go back to my notes and see if I have any evidence to support that.
See, I don't feel it would have worked. I think it's women. As if you had a woman driver, I really don't feel this conversation would have happened.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think that actually was somebody suggested that when we were talking about, who can play this character? You're going to limit yourself. And I said the same thing. I'm like, well, a woman is going to probably be creeped out just in terms of her safety. And I just don't think it was going to work at all. Right. It's like you could see her probably very quickly being like, I'm going to pull over, please get out of the car, or quickly trying to end that conversation, the current driver, I just feel like he'd be more willing to kind of, engage and maybe be a little bit more empathetic and trying to, at least give this guy a chance to express himself, albeit it gets increasingly more deranged as, the ride goes on.
Is there a reason why you shot this in black and white, not color?
Okay, so I keep making this joke, which is a bit of a spoiler. I could say, that it's some type of metaphor for the fact that our politics aren't quite as black and white as everyone might assume. But it really was down to the fact that we shot this on a green screen, in a green screen studio. And basically it just was while we were keying out all of the footage, which just took forever. I'm talking like 6 or 9 months, the whole fast, cheap and good. And we had to be cheap. So it was not fast and it needed to be good. When we were just using kind of the stock footage, I basically keyed out a crappy background and put in something as a temp holder. I just kind of I put on a black and white to really kind of just not be distracted by it because it's so did the temp plates just did not match whatsoever. Once the official plates came in and I put them in, I don't know if it's just one of those things where you're like you're using the same song and you just get kind of married to it. I kind of used it as just a temp placeholder and then kind of fell in love with it. And then I think it ultimately did sell the VFX of the driving plates a little bit more effectively than if we did use color. similar, just because matching those two shots, I don't know if it was just me thinking it was distracting or what. But then, funny enough, is that I was editing the whole thing on my laptop, and I was using one of those daylight balancers, right? So my laptop at night would have an orange tint to it. So then I went onto a different computer, and I'm like, "Where's that like sepia tone to the footage?" And he's like, "Oh, were you using Flux or whatever it's called?" I'm like, "Oh yeah." So then I had the DP who did the color be like, "Can you add just a little bit of sepia tone to it, like the ever so slightly amount of it?" And so yeah, so it really was just, kind of a accident that it resulted in that. That was no way the intention from, the script phase or anything.
But isn't that nice that you find these things in the editing process, like things you didn't think about, and it adds so much more to your project?
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah. I mean, I think that like the black and white kind of seemed to be serendipitous, because I also think it just kind of, I don't know, it adds a certain melancholy to it. And I guess I could lean into the metaphor I just said and be like, "Oh, well, that's the defense," but it's that kind of ineffable piece of it that you would go, "I don't know why this works." I mean, I know technically why it might, but it just does. And more people we showed it, they were kind of suspicious initially of like, "Why are you doing a black and white, being all pretentious about it?" And they're like, "Oh, actually, that played pretty well."
No, I
So,
like it. I think it's
yeah.
perfect as black and white. I honestly feel as a review, I wouldn't work as color for me. I think
Right,
that
yeah.
tension works so much better as the black and white because I focus on this dock. If I had color, I'd probably focus on vehicle color. I'd focus more on the outside. But the black and white kind of just isolates me. It's the easiest way I can explain it between the conversations, what you want me to be focusing on.
Yeah, no, totally. I totally agree. It's like I actually did lift the black and white off for a brief period where I just wanted to, I was just curious about what it looked like. And it's exactly what you're saying. It's just, it's clear when you're dipping into shadows and light that the lighting would not necessarily match the subjects. And I think black and white kind of tame that and kind of, almost compress that range a little bit more effectively. And so, yeah, I mean, it was not a hard choice. I like put it off and I'm like, "Absolutely not," and put it right back on. It wasn't like I was like going around and showing people and being like, "What do you think?" I was like, "I just know this is the right move." And so yeah, so we just kept it, pretty early on into the earliest, first cut and beyond.
And don't get me wrong, I know actors are actors and you give them the script, tell them to work. Did you poke the bear at any time with either of these two actors to get them a little more agitated to
No,
get
I
them?
mean, funny enough, my good friend out here, Eric, who also was on, just help everybody. I had a very small crew, and so everybody's doing, 10 different jobs. And he was helping with G&E, and he has his best friend from, I think, high school, was in a short that he made, and he just had that kind of presence. 'Cause I mean, that was the big thing, is like, if you don't have that kind of odd, creepy factor just innately to you, I don't know if it's going to work, because I obviously have other actors, but they're like beautiful people, and you're like, "I don't know if this is going to be as digestible if, you're a little bit more, just odd," or something about him is just, he has that perfect kind of like, he's, I don't know. Sorry, Andrew, if you're listening, but you just have that kind of weird persona that kind of stews in your head after you watch him perform stuff. And so, funny enough, we were doing rehearsals, and I bring in the driver, Jonathan, and they happen to know each other. And then Jonathan, I found through a casting call I put up, and they just went to the same acting school and were in the same class,
Oh, that's
Stellar Adler.
funny. No, that
And
is
they, yeah, and
funny.
so they immediately had this chemistry that was like, I was expecting to take numerous days of rehearsals to get to. And it was, I mean, insane. I mean, we just sat down and put up a couple chairs, and they just blasted through it. And obviously, you're making a few adjustments here and there, but for the most part, I was just like completely blown away to almost the point of like, "Well, I drove all the way out here, so I guess we should do it a few more times." So then we did it once more, and then we went outside into the car to like do it again. But I mean, they memorized this entire, it was a 20-page script, just and did it all in one take, like flawless from the first
Wow,
jump, the first
really?
rehearsal. Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. It really blew my mind. And that was when I went, okay, because I was always nervous that this was going to be, it could easily be sentimental or cringy, a little too, just something that's just feeling preachy, whatever you want to describe it as. And they just added so much humanity to it. And obviously, kind of taking the language, but being able to kind of make it their own and whatnot. So, yeah, I mean, there are bits and pieces here and there, but as I said to other people that were asking, is that ultimately, how much are you going to change, right? Because we have to shoot this whole thing in one take. So I can't be like, all right, on page three, I'm going to turn, change the meal from noodles to a hamburger, and on page seven from a reference about a song to it. It's just like that stuff's just going to get in their head, given that they memorized all of it. So there are a few things we change, but for the most part, I mean, it was just one of the most incredible things to kind of see these words that I was convincing myself were just not going to work, and then they just, knocked it out of the park from day one. So it was super, super exciting to watch them do it.
So you did this all in one take in a car. Now, the car was in the outside, or was it in the studio?
Yeah, it was in a. Sorry, let me just turn my weird notifications off. It was all in. Sorry, my apologies. I'm getting calls about nonsense. Da, 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 sorry, listeners. All right, there you go. So it was all done in essentially, three takes with two cameras. And we just ran through the whole thing. It basically was, we had the sound stage that was in the valley, basically, like, kind of was owed a favor, and this guy worked with me, and I'm like, I can't even afford to do it for a whole day. I literally had to go 6 hours, and then, just with, laws, you're like, I have to feed everybody, and that's also a huge expense. And this was really a scrappy production because, again, I was concerned that I would get done with this, put it together, and be like, this is not working whatsoever. And that's not anyone's fault other than my own. It's obviously a kind of a risky bet to say I'm going to have this entire thing take place in a car and nowhere else and whatnot. And so, yeah, we kind of set up the lights and had two, I think, like red Geminis possibly. And we just rolled through it three times. We did one rehearsal while they were all setting up, and then, yeah, we just had two cameras rolling in various positions, and we were going to do it a fourth time, but then sure enough the car battery died because we left the ignition on, and it literally just stopped production for an hour because we had to recharge the battery and blah blah blah. And it was just, just you're obviously nervous of like, oh, is this going to be not the same vibe, given now we have an entire audience watching what is essentially a short play, being performed three times in a row. And yet each time they brought something different. So it was really exciting working through the footage where you literally have three takes, and you're for every single line, you could go option one, two, or three, one, two, or three for both the characters. And so in some ways, not getting a fourth take was probably a blessing, because that was just, you become obsessed with like, let me try take one. Let me try take two. Let me, and you're just going on and on and on, and every variation just to make sure that it's not a better piece in there than otherwise. But yeah, I mean, again, it's all a tribute to them, and obviously our DP and his crew of being able to set up so rapidly and just like get this done in time. Because I do think no one would tell me there's this suspicion of like, what are we doing here? Like, why, how is this going to possibly work and whatnot? But fortunately, it kind of came together pretty well.
That's great. I do think you have a racial tension coming on a lot throughout this film.
Yes,
And I kind of
very
liked it.
intentional.
And I was going there. I gotta say, as a viewer, I liked it. I think it builds beautifully. And I still, at the end of the short, thought there was gonna be more. And when you left me hanging, I was like, I'm gonna kill him. I really want a couple more minutes of these two. Was that the plan, to leave me hanging?
Yes, I mean, it's funny because you're not the first person to say that, where I had a few other people who watched early cuts and they're like, oh, I, or actually a guy at work was, like, oh, I want him to go further. I wanted, him to kind of get more crass and whatnot. And I kind of always knew that I didn't want it to, like, kind of, I wanted to bend it. I didn't want to break it, because I think that as long as he's not like going past that line that I think we all probably understand, it's going to allow for sympathy to the passenger, at least to some capacity. Because if you cross it, then immediately it's like, oh, this guy's a piece of shit. And like, and I mean, already I think you can see that, he's speaking in dog whistles. And again, it's like during the BLM protest and whatnot, I read a book called Dog Whistle Politics, which is all about, racially coded language and how that can kind of relate to systemic racism and whatnot. And so I knew that that was going to kind of like, I wanted to sprinkle it in there rather than have, like really just intense, epithets and whatnot being tossed around. And also because I think if that did start crossing the line, the driver probably would have, for the same reason as we talked about with if it was a female, probably just pulled over and been like, get the fuck out of my car. Like, I don't think he would be that patient just as, a form of self-respect. So basically, like, I did want that almost, one more song or one more magic trick type of approach to it, where people go, oh, I mean, because the great what if is, could he have said anything that would have changed this? And I love the idea of this guy, like, thinking about as the movie ends, you're like, how long is he going to think? What if I said something different? What if I took him to get food? What if I did just talk to him more as a friend, and how that might haunt him for the rest of his life, knowing the tragedy that's about to follow.
But let's go back. I think the guy did everything he could do. I mean, he's just an Uber driver. He's
Yeah.
just doing his job. And the guy is, I would say, not the nicest to him. He comes very abrupt after him, and he's like, he could be his 10th abrupt guy that day. He could just be wanting to go home for the day. It's my last drive. I took it because someone taking me home. Who knows? I think there's a lot of factors we did never got into because you can't in a short. I mean, you leave a lot of ambiguous. So I
Yes.
totally don't feel the driver's at fault here. I do not like the guy in the back. From the moment he gets in the car, I want to slap him.
Right. I mean, to be clear, it's not that I would ever say that he's at fault. It's more of like that guilt that you have that could I have
No, I
done
agree.
something? Those like alternative possible worlds that that kind of would inevitably kind of play within your mind. But yeah, no, I mean I like, obviously you wanted, and this goes back to Andrew having that kind of creepy factor, is like you need to be suspicious of this guy from like
Oh,
immediately. And
yeah,
again,
absolutely.
if you had a super beautiful face, it's like a model, I think it's going to take a lot longer to get to that point of like, oh, this, excuse me, it's like, a little bit more of a weirdo or someone to be suspicious of. And it's like, given that it's a short, it's like you kind of need to establish the world within about 15 to 30 seconds and
Yeah,
then be like,
and you
oh,
do.
right,
And you
right.
100% do. So why are we having baseball on? Did you want thought about music the whole time, or was baseball always your idea?
I love these questions because you're picking up on a lot of details. One is I got into baseball I like in 2017, and during like right before COVID, I was really kind of like just becoming, you watch Moneyball and it kind of just lights your brain up.
Fair enough.
And I think that one was this idea of wanting them to have a like kind of common interest that they could share, in the sense that they're both from Chicago and it's the White Sox, which is for those unfamiliar, is on the south side of Chicago,
Yep.
a predominantly black neighborhood and whatnot. But it's also adjacent to the white working class that's beneath it. And there's often been a racial tension between those two areas of the city, right? And so it was deliberate that it would be a game that's about a about a oh, I'm sorry, not sacrifice fly, I'm totally blanking out on the phrase for it. Oh, a walk-off home run.
Oh.
And that they wouldn't like, so that there's almost more tension where it's like, again, a question of, well, if they lost, would he have been so devastated? Would he have like stuck around to talk about it? These are just various questions as to like, again, these possible worlds that might have been created. And so I guess, but to answer your question about what it was contributing, I don't know. There's just something. Actually, I watched Drive recently when he had the police scanner on, and I was like, this is such a cool idea of not music, even though the music kicks in, but like it kind of almost creates its own form of like musicality behind it, just the overall ambience of baseball and just the cadence and whatnot. And so yeah, I think it was, just a mixture of those factors, not necessarily anything, specifically related to theme or whatnot.
Okay, the guy in the back seat has a camera around his neck, or he's playing with a camera. Is it
Yes,
a real
yes.
camera, or is it a
That is a
fake
real
camera?
camera. I bought
It's
it. It's a.
in black and white. I cannot tell. There's no way
Got it,
I
got it.
could.
Yeah. That was actually one of the few reasons we explored changing it up. But then, I had enough people be like, I get it. I get it. It's a GoPro. What the
Okay.
they. Basically, it's like a knockoff GoPro. And the idea was basically like, I'm gonna record this, and it kind of provides, I should preface this with, I, for a long time, was going to like put in the log line and make it way more obvious in the beginning that he was going to commit a mass shooting. Like, you just knew that that was happening, kind of the bomb under the table versus the bomb going off, you know, the old Hitchcock thriller versus suspense type of approach. And he was, and so I was like exploring that and had a few versions of it. And people were just like, I don't know why you'd want to spoil that ending. Granted, some people know where it's going, other people see the rifle barrel and whatnot. But, you know, for the most part, it's like, oh, is he just a troll? And I should mention that they were like, well, is he just a troll trying to get a rise out of this guy? Some influencer who's, you know, basically a, you know, just trolling a bunch of drivers and whatnot to try and get them to yell or scream or have a meltdown, and they can go post it online. And I imagine the driver thought that until the last minute as well, of just like, what are you
I would
recording
think
this
so.
for? Like, yeah, you know, you're just a lonely guy trying to get internet famous. And so again, it was these layers that you want to add to it that, you know, are relevant. Also, I should mention with the baseball thing that the with arms raised, that also connects to baseball, just because obviously if you're catching a ball, you're gonna have an arm raised, especially a walk-off home run.
True. It's your voice that's on the radio, right?
Yeah, good catch. Yeah, it's me and my buddy.
Yeah.
We basically similar to them, just not nearly as good. We just recorded a baseball game, kind of taking a actual baseball game but changing the language, but just to have the timing right, you know? Because
Of
I was
course.
trying to write this from scratch, and I'm like, how the fuck would I possibly write a baseball game from scratch? You know, it's just like it's so kind of bizarre and counterintuitive when you start reading it. And so yeah, exactly. He you know, it's yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those things that we were like excited to try and explore them.
Do you always write such heavy shorts? I mean, this is the only short I've seen from you, so I'm wondering if this is your. The way you talk, I would argue yes, you like to get into these subjects.
Yes. I mean, funny enough, I know we're not going to talk much about it. I am writing another one that is also, I guess, not like heavy in the sense of like, you know, this necessarily all in one location, but there is something very attractive about, you know, just having, I almost say like eclectic or weird or interesting people, and then, you know, relative. I'm not going to say normal, but you know, like very observant others, and I just love the idea of putting on a performance in a movie is always very exciting to me. You know, it's like where you're like Catch Me If You Can, for instance. You know, it's like part of the fun is not just Leonardo DiCaprio playing, I forgot the character's name, but you know what I'm talking about, but
I know
how
what you're
he
talking about.
acts. Yeah, you know, he acts these roles in a variety of situations, and I just love the kind of like, I don't know if you would call it the dramatic irony of like the audience knows that he's putting on an act, and yet none of the other characters know. And that just to me opens up such a kind of, you know, juicy kind of situation to explore. So yeah, I guess I would say, yeah, getting into like the depths of a you know, kind of juicy dialogue or something is always, you know, kind of a fun challenge. It's just rare that you ever get some, you know, usually you write it and it's just kind of like throwing it out in the trash can in the end.
Yeah, I do want to, before I go to other something fun, on your camera angles, you switched them up. You said you shot it three times.
Yeah.
Do you, where's your camera? Do you have two on one side, one on the other side, or do you change in windows, or do you have one in the front? I do want to discuss exactly how that works, because I definitely know you're using two cameras. I think that's pretty obvious,
Right,
but I
right.
didn't know you used three different cuts. That's what I want to know. How does that all work together?
Yeah, I mean that's another problem with the battery dying, right? So basically, what we did was this was the biggest waste. Is I did a master shot outside the car, you know, the two shot, which I probably used collectively 7 seconds of, and the idea was that we would kind of be out the car and then slowly move in, so that as the actors got warmed up, we would be ready to like get to their close up, so to speak. And so we had one outside in profile, one outside the other profile, and then the DP bought a it's not a tilt shift. I keep on saying this, or maybe it is a tilt shift lens. But basically, like it's almost like a magnifying glass that will be able to like kind of like really offer both the fisheye and the kind of like specific focus points of like your eye, your chin, and it kind of just added a
Oh,
range. Yeah, it was a really cool.
nice.
I mean, rented it for like $20 off. It's literally just a lens, like a magnifying glass that goes on top of it.
I like
And
it.
if you're listening, I'm sorry, I always forget the name of this. But anyway, so we planned on, this kind of like low angle, wide fisheye approach that the passenger gets was going to also be done for the driver, and he kind of switched between them. But the battery dying was one of those sad, like, oh, I just wish we got like full coverage of the driver with that angle. And so yeah, so we kind of worked with what we had, but basically it was kind of just yeah, starting exterior. And then just moving closer and closer into the interior. And yeah, it's basically three takes each, and then just editing between those three.
I love it. Okay, I think I've covered the short. I apologize, people. I wish I had more questions for you, but it's not that
No, no
long.
worries.
I feel bad, but we're going to go on to fun questions anyway. Your
Please,
favorite
please.
film, because your first time on the show?
Favorite film would be I'm gonna go. I'm just going to use my Letterboxd for Crimes and Misdemeanors, Apocalypse Now, Sideways, and Jaws. And I only
I
remember
love
that because I just got asked
it.
that over the weekend.
Great movies there.
Yeah.
Favorite film of last year?
Of 2025, you mean?
Yes.
I'm going to say No Battle After Another, but I just saw No Other Choice, and that is a very, very, very close second,
Ooh, it's
possibly
great
better.
film.
Blew my
Great
mind.
film. Loved it.
Loved. I had no idea what it was going to be about, and it
You get
just
this
blew
really
my mind.
quick. I just think it's a little slow to start.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I'm like, oh
If we
God, it's
cut
long.
20 minutes off the beginning, not where you learn about his job, just in that middle family range when he's trying to find work. Just reduce that. Even 10 minutes off and a little bit at the end, I think I would like this a lot more.
Yeah, totally. I see what you're saying. It's just like there's so many moments in there where I'm just like, this is just so brilliantly directed. The camera movements, how
Oh,
he's covering scenes.
wonderful. I
Oh
love
my
parts that
God.
are just brilliant.
Like
But
especially the
just,
murder, the death
yes,
scene, I should
that's what I
say.
was getting to.
Yeah,
Yes. I just need a
exactly.
little bit more editing. And that's just me per I'm like, just a little bit more editing. I'm not being fussy. But I am being fussy because I just felt there's some time wasted.
Hey, I mean that's what we're all here for.
Yeah,
But what was your
exactly.
favorite? Am I allowed to ask you back what your favorite film of
It's
last year
Marty
was?
Supreme.
I'm going to see that tomorrow. I've not seen
And
it
No
yet.
Other Choice is on my top 10 list, which will be
Great.
released, well, right out before this, in my
All
top 10
right, all
list.
right. Looking forward
Will
to
be
it.
out. It is done. It is recorded, so now you know ahead of time. Nobody else knows because we did it last night. So,
Right.
your final question. What's one film you would recommend to people to watch besides No Other Choice?
Okay. These are always, this is a tough one. I'm going to say, given that he recently died, is Bellatar. I would say his entire filmography. And I, The Turin Horse or Damnation. I mean, I just feel like he's the most underrated, like kind of filmmaker with a unique voice that is, been making stuff for the last 20 years, and I don't know why. I don't get why Tarkovsky is be able to like still, have this kind of legendary history with him, but Bellatar, I feel, is now starting to catch on, but it's a shame that we didn't get more from him. So I'm just gonna go collectively the
That's
Bellatar,
perfect. Thank you
which
so
I'm also
much.
mispronouncing most likely for all the
Don't
listeners
worry,
out
I'm the worst. And you should listen to all my interviews. I screw up somewhere at
there.
some
Yeah,
point
sure.
during the interview. Before I let you go, you must have a website you need to tell people where it is.
Yeah, it's just my name, JonCVack, JohnCVack.com. Some exciting updates on there. So, hopefully a lot more little film projects to come. And yeah, thanks so much for having me. And it's been a thrill to get this out there and hear all the feedback and interest in it. So really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for coming on and have a good evening.
You too.